Amen. So when we talk about faith, we can say that there's two sides about faith. And one side is rest, learning to rest. That's one side where when I'm talking about resting, I'm talking about trusting the Lord. You learn how to trust the Lord. When I'm talking about resting, it doesn't mean only that you got to sleep like 12 hours a day, even though I like to sleep, but it doesn't mean that way. It means that you're learning to trust in God and you are resting in Him. And then the other side of faith is speaking to the mountain, to the storm. So you have to learn how to speak to the problems. And that's what we need to learn. And that's when we're talking about faith, that's what we have to learn. Now, it's really important that we learn how to rest, because sometimes we can be speaking out of desperation, out of fear. And we begin to declare things because we are afraid. And it is important to declare the word of God, and it is important to speak the word of God, but we have to do it from a standpoint of resting and trusting the Lord. That's why we speak. We speak because we believe. And since we believe, that's why we speak. And there has to be a balance between knowing how to rest in the Lord and knowing how to speak in faith. There has to be a balance. And that is really, really important. Now, let me tell you something. We have the Bible, which is the Word of God, and we have to use the Bible to create beliefs in our lives. Everyone that is hearing me right now has a belief system in their lives. Maybe you got your beliefs from school, from your parents when you were growing up, and now we have a belief system. What does that mean? That you do certain things in a particular way because that's how you believe. For example, like men, well, at least me, when I dress up, I always put my right leg first into my pants and then the second, and then I pull them up. I don't know if someone dresses differently. Maybe they put the pants down and they jump into the pants and they do it this way. That will be their belief system. So everyone has a belief system. What does that mean? That you do things in a particular way. Now, when we become followers of Jesus, we have His words, the Bible, and now we have to create new beliefs, a new belief system that comes out of the word of the Lord. Our foundation has to be the word of God in our new belief systems. That means that there are some beliefs that we have to get rid of, and we have to get new beliefs. I'm not saying that all our beliefs when we weren't Christians were bad. I'm not saying that, but some of them we have to get rid of them, and we have to create new beliefs that come out of the Word of God. Now, once we have those beliefs, we have to learn how to let those beliefs impact three areas in our life. We have to let those beliefs influence three areas in our life. Which three areas are those? You have to let your beliefs govern or influence your thoughts, your words, and your actions. Once you have a new belief in your life that comes from the Word of God, now you have to let that belief govern you in your thoughts, in your words, and your actions. If you want to be a successful follower of Jesus, you have to let your beliefs govern your thoughts, your words, and your actions. Now, let me give you an example, because some people can have a belief let's say some people believe in tithing, and they know they believe in tithing, they think about tithing, they even speak about tithing and giving offerings to the church or to the ministry or to the work of the Lord, but they don't do it. That means that their belief is only affecting their thoughts, their words, but not their actions. If you want to receive from the Lord, and if you want to have a successful prayer life, and you want to be a successful follower of Jesus, you have to let your beliefs affect these three areas, which are your thoughts, your words, and your actions. If you do it, trust me, you're going to be a really successful Christian. That's what I was telling you first. That faith has two sides. One is learn how to rest, and the other one is learn to speak. But some people only know how to speak and declare the word of God, and that's good. But they're doing it out of desperation because they are fearful. And they start declaring, "Hey, Lord, and you are my healer." And they're frightened. They're not doing it out of confidence and trust in the Lord, because they haven't learned how to rest. And this is really important. Once you get a balance between these two beliefs, you're gonna do great. The Lord is gonna use you mightily. So tonight, I want to help you, because remember, one side of faith is resting, is trusting, and the other side is speaking, is declaring. And obviously, how do we grow in that knowledge? Through the word of the Lord. You learn how to rest, you learn how to trust the Lord. How? Getting beliefs from the word of God that is going to govern your thoughts, your words, and your actions. So tonight, I want to teach you something that is going to help you on this side. This side is the trusting side, the resting side that gives you confidence. So whenever you face a storm or a problem in life, you will have the confidence in you to speak with authority, not only because you are afraid or because you are desperate. No, because you have confidence and you are trusting the Lord. So tonight, what I'm going to teach you is going to help you on this side. And maybe during the year, I can teach you more on this side. So let's begin with this. Tonight, I want to teach you about that God is a giver. God is a giver. This is really important. I know that right now we're streaming only. We don't have any audience here tonight, except for those that work in the media. But if I can ask you that are watching, how many of you believe that God is a giver? Maybe somebody saying yes in their house. Maybe you're having dinner right now and drinking your coffee or whatever. And if I ask you, can you raise your hand if you believe that God is a giver? You probably will raise your hand and say, I believe that God is a giver. Or maybe you can write something in the comments section in the streaming that you believe that God is a giver. How many of you know that God is a giver? Okay, if you ask any Christian, probably anyone in the church, how many of you believe that God is a giver? Probably 100% of the audience will raise their hand. I believe God is a giver. I know God is a giver. Okay. Now this is the next question. If you say that God is a giver, that you believe that God is a giver, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to write down three verses from the Bible that says that God is a giver, but you cannot write down John 3:16. Okay, I'm going to give you 30 seconds and I'm giving you time while I'm explaining. If you know God is a giver, and if you tell me that you believe God is a giver, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to give me three verses from the Bible that says that God is a giver. Go ahead. And you can write them down on the comments right there where you're watching this live streaming. Thirty seconds is a lot of time. Okay. 5 seconds. 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay. Stop. Now, I'm not there at your home, for you can give me your three verses, but I would obviously love to know if anybody got 100% and they're saying, here are my verses. Now, why am I saying this? Because usually people say, I believe God is a giver, or I believe God is a healer. But when you ask them, okay, show me in the Bible or give me the verses, maybe you don't know the chapter and verse, and that's okay. But tell me a verse that says that God is a giver. And mostly, I'm not saying every time, mostly people don't know three verses where the Bible says that God is a giver. And you need to know from the Bible that you need to know that God is a giver in order for you to learn how to rest and learn how to trust the Lord. It's really important. And once you learn that He's a giver, you have to let this belief, this knowledge, govern your thoughts, your words, and your actions. So let's learn tonight that God is a giver. And let's read, obviously, John 3:16. I'm the pastor, so I can use it. No, I'm just kidding. You can use it too. John 3:16, it says, I'm going to read it from the NIV. We're learning that God is a giver, and the purpose is to help us learn how to rest and trust the Lord. We're building on this knowledge, and we're creating a belief system, okay? So, right here it says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. This verse is probably the most famous verse out of the Bible. From all the more of 6,000 promises, this is probably the most famous verse. This verse is probably known by people that they're not even Christians. And you know how wrestlers use John 3:16, basketball players, athletes. They love to use this verse. And this verse, Jesus said it. He said these words, and John wrote them down. And he says, for God so loved the world. It doesn't say, for God so loved the Christians, even though God loves Christians. It says that for this, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. God loves to give. And He chose to be known through this verse by doing something. What was He doing? Giving. Giving. He gave. And this verse shows us that He's a giver. A giver. Why? Because God is love. You can give without love, but you cannot love without giving. You can give without love, but you cannot love without giving. So this verse is talking about that God is a giver. God is a giver. And you need to learn this in order for you to trust the Lord. Because you know what? Sometimes people, at least me, when I was growing up, I learned that God was a mean God, that he was always angry, and that he was always waiting for me to make a mistake with a huge stick to hit me. That's how I learned about God. But now that I'm reading the Word of God, I'm learning that he's loved and that he loves to give. So God is a giver. Let me give you another evidence that God is a giver, another verse, and we're going to go to James chapter 1, verse 5. This is another verse that is teaching us that God is a giver. And it says here, out of the NIV, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It says that if you are lacking wisdom, if you are lacking anything, you should ask who? God. And what does God is going to do? What is it that God is going to do? He's going to give you generously. Now, when we are learning that God is a giver, it means that he loves to give, right? That's really intelligent. he loves to give. But let me use this illustration. Let's say, obviously, I'm not God, as you can see, I'm not God, but let's say I love to give, and since I really love to give, and I really love to give money, let's say, this is an illustration, that I really love to give out $100 bills, and since I really love to give, every time I'm preaching, I give out $100 bills. This is an illustration. And let's say, since I'm a giver, right now I have $1,000, $100 bills that I want to give out. Okay? Because I love to give. So I take out my wallet and I said, okay, since I love to give, I want to start giving out those $100 bills to the people that are right here listening to me. And then I open my wallet and I don't find any $100 bills. I can only find a $10 bill and like some singles. But I really love to give. I really love to give out $100 bills. But guess what? I don't have them. And you know what? Sometimes, maybe you love to give, but you don't have it. Let me tell you a great, great news. God does not only loves to give, but he has the power and the ability to give it to you because he is all powerful. What I'm saying is, if God loves to heal people, that means that he can do it. He has the power to heal you, and he loves to give you healing. God is not like me, that even though I love to give, I don't have it. He loves to give it, to give, and he has the power and the ability to bless you. So when the Word of God says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives what? generously. God is a generous giver. God is a generous giver. That like King David said, my cup is running over. Why? Because God is a generous God. When he blesses you, he does it generously. My joy is running over because God gave me too much joy. My peace is running over because he gave me too much peace. My health is running over. I'm healthy. I'm strong because he gave me too much healing, too much health. Amen? Because he loves to give. God is not a stingy God. He's not hiding his provision for your life. He's not hiding blessings from you. He's a generous God. And I love this verse when he says, if any of you lacks. Obviously, here says wisdom, but maybe you are lacking, I don't know, joy, peace, health. You should ask who? God. And he's going to tell you, no, not right now. I don't have it. I don't have the power to do it. I don't have the ability to do it. No, he's not going to say that. He gives you generously because he is a giver. He's a giver. He's a liberal giver. He's not a stingy God. Amen. Let's read a third evidence that God is a giver. Remember, we are building knowledge to grow in on this side, that God is a giver, so we can trust in the Lord, so we can rest in him. So that way, when we face situations, adversities in life, we can speak out of confidence that God is a giver. God is a giver. Tonight, we are building this belief that God is a giver. And from now on, we're going to let that belief influence our thoughts, our words, and our actions. So tomorrow, when you wake up and you are lacking something, let's say you are lacking strength, what are you going to do? Tell your wife to help you get up from out of bed? Can you shower me because I'm lacking strength? Are you going to tell your kids? Can you tie my laces because I'm weak? No, ask the Lord. Lord, I need strength. And he will what? Give you generously. But you know what? People just don't do it. When they wake up, I don't know, it happens to everyone. You know, during the week, sometimes we wake up and we're tired because we've been working the whole week. Maybe you work overtime, I don't know, and you are tired. And it happens to everyone. And we wake up and we're tired. And what is it that we do? We start complaining. Oh, no, it's Wednesday. I hate Wednesdays. Oh, no, it's raining. I hate rain. And then we start complaining instead of remembering that James 1:5 says, if any one of you lacks anything, we can use it for strength. If you're feeling weak, the Lord will give you strength. And he will give it to you generously. Try it. Do it, and you will see. He will perform his word. Amen? Now, let's see the third evidence that God is a giver. 1 Timothy 6:17. 1 Timothy 6:17. Let me just check right here in the Bible. I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. 1 Timothy 6:17. We are building on the knowledge for us to know how to rest and trust the Lord. so we can speak with confidence. Where's 1 Timothy? He's right here. Okay, perfect. 6:17. And he says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God richly provides. Remember, God is a giver. God is a generous giver. And third, God richly provides. Richly means full, that he does. He blesses you in abundance. Now, this verse says that we are not to trust in riches. Why? Because riches are uncertain. What does that mean? That sometimes there's riches, and then sometimes there's no riches. One day maybe you have money, and then the next day maybe you don't have money. But if you trust the Lord, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Paul is telling Timothy, tell to rich people not to put their trust on riches, but on the living God. Why? Because this living God gives you, he's a giver, and he's a generous giver, and he is going to give you richly all things. How many things? All things. With what purpose? To enjoy. Wow, that's amazing. To enjoy. God is not a stingy God. He's not hiding blessings for you. He has the power to bless you, and he wants to bless you, and he's a giver. When I was a kid, I remember, I come from a really big family. We are 10 brothers and sisters, and we were really poor. We were living in a small town in Mexico called Tulcingo, and we didn't have any money. We were living in poverty. And you know, poverty means that you don't have your basic needs met. Poverty is not because you don't have the last iPhone 12. That's not poverty, no? Because there's young people that, I don't have the last iWatch, I'm poor. That's not poverty. We were really poor. We didn't have food to eat. Or we have just a little bit. And we were 10 brothers and sisters. So I remember that my dad used to go on Sundays to the outdoor market on the town, a small town, and he will buy the groceries and the fruits and the vegetables for the whole week. So he will bring the fruit, the vegetables, and the groceries to the house, like around 12, midday, and he was pretending, you know, for the food to last until next Saturday. And then on Sunday, he will buy more food. But we were really hungry kids because we didn't have enough to eat. So he will bring the fruit, he will bring the vegetables, and we were really hungry. And I'm still hungry nowadays. Even though I'm not poor anymore, I'm still hungry. I don't know how that works. But I remember he will come, and then we will eat everything in a single day. All the oranges, the bananas, the groceries, because we were really hungry. So my dad decided to buy like a small furniture, like a closet that had a door and a key, a lock to lock the door. And he will take the fruit, some of the fruit, and hide it or lock it inside of that closet with a key. And then he will do it that Sunday. You know, he will say, okay, just 3 bananas for the 10 of you. Just divide it among yourselves. And then he will put the rest in that little closet. And he will forget that he had that fruit inside of that closet. And then when it was probably like a Wednesday or Thursday, he will remember, oh, the fruit is in there. Now, Tulcingo is a small town, but it's really hot. So that small furniture was not all refrigerated. So like on Thursday, when he will go and open that closet, he will find that the fruit was all rotten. You know, it wasn't good anymore to eat. So he will throw it away. And I will almost start crying. I'm like, that's just a waste. But one day, when I became a Christian, I was just thinking about this. And you know what? God is not a stingy God. God is not saying, okay, I'm just going to give you a little bit. A little bit of blessing. A little bit of healing. A little bit of joy. A little bit of love. And the rest, I'm going to lack it. I'm going to hide it. And you cannot have it. No, the Lord, and like King David said, that he sets up a table in the presence of your enemy. Now the door is open. The blessings are not lacking in a closet hiding from you. God is not trying to hide anything from you. So if you are lacking healing tonight, trust me, there is a table set up for you so you can reach and grab your healing. If you are lacking strength, you can reach out and get strength. If you are lacking joy, just get it and start laughing. If you are lacking peace, you can reach out your hand and get it. God is not a stingy God. Now, I'm not talking bad about my dad. He was in his mind. He was just trying to do his best. But God is not lacking anything. And the word of the Lord says here that he wants to give you richly all things to enjoy. I don't know about you, but I love the blessings of the Lord. I love the fact that the Lord wants to bless me generously and in abundance. And he wants the best for me. I don't know about you, but I know God wants the best for me. I don't know about you, but I know my God wants Enrique to be healed. I don't know about you, but my God wants Enrique to be in peace. I don't know about you, but my God wants me to enjoy all things. Let me put it this way. Talking about that God wants the best for you. You know, I like to eat, and I like to eat meat, like a nice ribeye. So when you go to a store, you know there's different kinds of meat. Like, if you go to a store, you can find different kinds of ribeye. You can find the commercial ribeye. You can find the standard ribeye. You can find the select ribeye, or the choice ribeye, or the prime ribeye, or the best ribeye there is. And you get to choose. Obviously, whatever you choose is gonna, if you choose the better ones, it's gonna cost you more. But there's different types of ribeyes. Not all of them are the same. That's why when you eat it, some of them are really hard to chew on them. And other ones are really tender. And you are like, wow, this meat. And you think it's the chef. That he's just an amazing chef. No, he's probably using the best meat there is. He's using prime beef. He's using choice or select beef. And if you go to a fancy restaurant, they're using the commercial ribeye. And if you come to God, he wants to give you the best. He wants for you to have prime beef, prime ribeye, the best. You don't have to suffer sickness. You don't have to suffer depression. He wants the best for you. But you have to learn that he's a giver. You have to learn to rest. Never think that God does not want to give you what you are lacking. He wants to give it to you because he's a giver. How can I know when people are struggling to know if God wants to give them something? You know, how can I know? The way they talk or the way they pray. Like I was saying at the beginning, some people pray out of desperation. And they start begging God, oh, Lord, please give it to me. Lord, please give it to me. I need it now. Or at least for this week. Just give it to me. They start crying. But when you learn that he's a giver, that he's not stingy, he's not hiding the blessings in a closet and they're locked and you cannot access them. No, he wants to give it to you freely, generously, because he's a giver. Let me finish with this verse in Romans 8:32. Romans 8, verse 32. And just listen with your heart. Probably you've been listening with your ears only. But let's listen with your spiritual ears, with your spirit. And it says here, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God already gave you the most important thing there was to give you, his son. That was probably the hardest thing to do, and he did it because he loves you. Just think for a moment. If he already gave me Jesus, and what does that mean that he gave me Jesus? It means that Jesus went to the cross to die for you, to suffer for you, to go to hell for you, to be nailed on the cross for you. How can now you be struggling with the question if God wants to give you something or not? If he already did, if he already spared his son for you, I challenge you to meditate on this verse for the next couple of days. Just go over and over and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me your son, for delivering him for me unto the cross. Thank you, Lord, for going to the cross for me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my place, my suffering, my sickness, my sins. And tell him, Lord, I know that it's easy for you to give me healing, peace, joy, whatever, because you are a giver. Because you are a giver. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I challenge you to let this belief that God is a giver govern your thoughts, your words, and your actions. Tomorrow when you wake up, tell him, thank you, Lord, because I know you are a giver. And you have given me this day to enjoy all things. Amen. Thank you very much for listening to joining us through this live streaming. And let's do this prayer. Maybe somebody's watching and you haven't accepted the Lord as your, you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's really important. He came primarily to give us life. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. And maybe you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior. He wants to give you salvation. He wants to give you forgiveness. So you can do this prayer, a simple prayer, with your heart and with your words. Just tell him, Lord, I come to you to accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross for me, that he died for me, and that you resurrected him for my forgiveness. I accept you, Jesus, into my heart. Thank you for your salvation and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.